So, nō mai haere mai ki tōna ahurewa tapu, welcome to this sacred place for this sacred service. Last week we looked at Jesus after Christmas, and so now we're into the Happy New Year, and in a sense I'm going to carry on from last week where we looked at what happened with Jesus straight after Christmas as a baby, the flight to Egypt, getting out of there, the holy innocents, the massacre of the children in Bethlehem, and then Jesus going and the family going back to Nazareth to live so that Jesus became called a Nazarene. But the theme I'm going to use today, as you probably picked up from so much going on, is grace upon grace, and I'll explain that later. Today is both the second Sunday in Christmas, it's the first Sunday of the new year, of course, but tomorrow is Epiphany Day. If you think of the old story of 12 days of Christmas, well, that finishes today, January the 5th, but every year the church celebrates on January the 6th, Epiphany, which means a revelation or a manifestation or a showing up. So it refers to the light of Christ, God revealing himself in human form. It's all those ideas that come through Epiphany. So we've got the wise men who didn't come on Christmas Day but probably came a bit later. All those sorts of images come through with their gifts. We rejoice that God is revealed among us in unexpected places and persons, and I want to come back to that a bit later on. Epiphany then is about the appearance of God in our lives, and wise men still seek him. But that doesn't leave out the woman, because I want you to have a look at this. I have to put up with Suzanne when we put these clips together. So, right. 600 years before Jesus came, Isaiah wrote about him. And Marion, would you come and read for us, if you want to follow it, Isaiah 61-6 on 11:55.
The glory of Zion. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the arm. Then you will look and be radiant. Your heart will throb and swell with joy. The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you the riches of the nations will come. Herds of camels will cover your land, young camels of Midian and Ephah, and all from Sheba will come, bearing gold and incense and proclaiming the praise of the Lord.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. So there's all these images from Epiphany of God present in our lives, and you'll see that coming through again. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. So it's God's light shining on people of every ilk. As we read these promises, we long for their fulfillment, but we must patiently wait for God's timing. He's in control of history, and he weaves together our lives and his plan. In verse 6 of that reading, it talks about the camels and those on the caravan bringing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praise of the Lord. And that's written 600 years before Jesus. The places that got mentioned belong to obscure tribes in the Arabian desert, hundreds of miles from Israel. And eventually, of course, all people will come to Jerusalem. Don't be discouraged when you look around and see so few people turning to God. One day, people throughout the earth will recognize him as the one true God. David began the service earlier looking at Psalm 72, and that picks up on these camels coming and these gifts. It's actually written by, Psalm 72 is actually written by Solomon, asking for wisdom and justice and ways to rule, seeking. But it also alludes onwards to the Messiah. I said last week that so much of theology is what happened has happened in the past, what's going on right at this second for you, and on into the future. So many images tied up like that. That the first verse that David used before, I'm going to read something slightly different, the one he used. Endow the king with your justice, O God, the royal son with your righteousness. He will judge the people in righteousness. And then it talks about that all nations will serve him. And then in verse 15, long may he live, may gold from Sheba be given to him, may people ever pray for him and bless him all day long. So going to the gifts of the wise men's gifts, of gold for royalty, of incense for praise. And if you think of the smoke rising from candles or from incense, it symbolizes our prayers rising to God. And that's an image that the church has always used and in a very symbolic way. So gold, incense, and myrrh, of course, for burial, as we've sung about in that earlier old song, Earth is Many a Noble City. But the verses in there talking about the gifts and their mystic meanings. Okay, I want to stay with this kingly theme and move to what is probably the greatest single piece of scripture, and that's John chapter 1. It's the very at the very start of John's gospel. It's the gospel which is set for today. I'm going to read John 1 to 18. Please listen very carefully to and take in the beauty of the words and the wonder of the thoughts. Now, I'm not going to use the version that's there. I'm going to use the old RSV, the Revised Standard Version, which has got more poetic, more beautiful language. But the meaning will still come through whatever you follow. And because it's the gospel and because it's the set gospel for today, if you can, I want you to stand in honour of this as I read. Would you stand, please? The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has never overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came for testimony to bear witness to the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness to the light. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and yet the world knew him not. He came to his own home, and his own people received him not. But to all who did receive him, to all who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And we have beheld his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father. John bore witness to him and cried, "This is he of whom I said, 'He comes after me, ranks before me, because he was before me.' And from his fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has made him known." This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Word. Please be seated. Thank you for the way you honoured that. So, how gripping, how powerful that is. Written by John, St. John the Evangelist, not John the Baptist, and written before he was exiled to Patmos, where he wrote the book of Revelation that we studied last year. The fourth gospel, the Gospel of John, explains the mystery of the person Jesus. John makes it clear that Jesus was not just a man, he was the eternal Son of God. He's the light of the world because he offers this gift of eternal life to mankind. How blind and foolish to call Jesus nothing more than an unusually good man or a good teacher. Yet we sometimes act as if this were true when we casually toss around the words and go about living in our own way. If Jesus is the eternal Son of God, we should pay attention to his divine identity and life-giving message. Listen to this, which puts that writing sort of in perspective. "He spoke and galaxies whirled into place. Stars burned the heavens and planets began orbiting their suns. Words of awesome, unlimited, unleashed power. He spoke again and the waters and the lands were filled with plants and creatures, running, swimming, growing, multiplying. Words of animating, breathing, pulsing life. Again he spoke and man and woman were formed, thinking, speaking, loving. Words of personal and creative glory. Eternal, infinite, unlimited, he was and is and always will be maker and lord of all that exists." And then he came to the speck of the universe called planet Earth. And you'll remember that I talked about Apollo 8 and the first view that the world really had of Earth. As Apollo 8 circled above the moon, but it never landed because Apollo 11 was the first to do that, and they saw this view of this fragile, fragile planet Earth. And from that arose very much the movement of caring for the Earth. And the astronauts read from Genesis 1, "In the beginning was the Word." Really powerful. So the mighty creator became part of creation, and he is the Word. This is the truth that John brings to this book. John's gospel is not a lot about the life of Christ. It's a powerful argument for the incarnation, a conclusive demonstration that Jesus was and is the very heaven-sent Son of God, the only source of eternal life. Luke tells Jesus' story, all the events that happened. John's trying to get across, this is the Son of God, he's God, he's human as well, he came for you. That's the message that John's getting across. And that's why it's a different gospel. If you want a story, then you go to Luke. If you want the theology or the depth, the beauty of who Jesus is, then go to John, well worth looking at. In every chapter of John, Jesus' deity is revealed. Revealed as the Word, as the Lamb of God, as the Son of God, as true bread, life, resurrection, vine. And John is the one with all the I am sayings. When Jesus says, I am the true vine, I'm the bread of life, I'm the light of the world, and whatever. And of course, in saying that, the Jews got really upset, and that's really why they wanted to get rid of him, because it goes back to Moses in the book of Exodus and the burning bush, and God speaking to Moses in the burning bush, getting his attention. And God tells Moses to go back to the people and say, right, we're going to get out of here. And Moses says, well, who will I say is giving these commands? And God says, I am. I am who I am. And then years later, when 2,000 years later, 3,000 years later, when Jesus uses the words about himself, I am, he's breaking the Ten Commandments. First commandment, you shall have no other gods but me. And here's this upstart saying, I am. No wonder they wanted to get rid of him. But Jesus is the Word made flesh. Right, I do want to skip through this stuff because a lot of what we've done today picks up on the stuff I was going to go into details with. So there is Jesus as God, creating, revealing, redeeming, eternal. The Greek idea of the Word made flesh was really quite repugnant to so many people. But I want to get you to have a look at this and see how you deal with this. Look at the red. Just look at the red. What a mess that is. What funny marks. Now look at the white. Okay, picking up on... I'm not going to read that. On a couple of the verses out of John's Gospel. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. And then the great verse. The version I read from at the bottom there, full of grace and truth, comes earlier. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father. That is probably... Well, it's probably the most important verse in the whole Bible. It's probably more important even than John 3:16. Who knows? Really important, that. Okay. And then when you get to verse 16, the NIV version, if you were reading... said, from the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. But the older versions, the classic version, instead of one blessing after another, uses the term grace upon grace. And that's take whichever picture you want, one blessing after another, or grace upon grace. Grace, gifts freely given. God's riches at Christ's expense, to use the acronym. The whole idea of gifts that we've been given. I'm just tossing up. Yeah, what I was going to do was to use Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and one of the high points of Paul's writing is this first bit of Ephesians. I'm not going to read it, just time-wise and the number of ideas that we've already had right through the service. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who's blessed us in Christ with every good gift. And then he talks about, in love, he predestined us for adoption. So we are adopted and we are God's children, which automatically makes us brothers and sisters of Christ. These ideas keep coming through Paul and the sort of stuff we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. Towards the end, it talks about you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who's a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. So it's talking about that you have on you, by your belief, God's seal. That's the seal of approval. And if you like, your signed, sealed, delivered for those of you who are Shine fans. Great. Okay. Good. I've skipped through that. Don't need to talk about that. Okay. I want to have a look at this gathering prayer, which picks up the idea of today being the second Sunday after Christmas, and also the idea of today, of tomorrow being Epiphany. So let's pray this together. There's a couple of slides. Let's pray. God, the source of all insight, you gave the wise ones the sign of a star. Give us the focus and perseverance of those who travel far to encounter Jesus. Give us wisdom to discern and follow all that points to him. God of light and life, from you we receive grace upon grace. Grant that we may know and accept the word become flesh. Give us power to become your children. We ask this in the holy name of Jesus. Amen. So let's pick up on some of these thoughts about grace and what we're doing with it. What points to Jesus? Stop and think for a moment. What are the things that made you turn to Jesus? Or what pointed for you to Jesus? How did you get to believe? How did you get to become a Christian, to follow him? What circumstances in your life today point you to Jesus? A bit like finding a rock. Or a bit like remembering a house burning down. What people in your life point you to Jesus? Maybe more important question is, how do you point other people to Jesus? What example do you set? And then changing the direction slightly, we've all received one blessing after another, grace upon grace. His gifts to us are endless. What gifts have you received from Jesus? When have you experienced his grace? Maybe it's somebody's love for you. Maybe it's God acting in your life in some way or other. Maybe it's prayer answered. So have a think about that and give thanks for that. And for me, a lot of that is summarised yet again, as I used last week, in Psalm 139. This personal God who knows us intimately and still loves us despite who we are. And offers us new life all the time. It's like the punga fern, if you think of a koru, the new life that's growing in that koru. God is with you. I pray that you have a great 2020. Let's pray. Holy God, thank you for being a personal God, for coming to us at this time of year. Thank you for the signs that we've just thought about that point to you, for the ways we point others to you. Thank you for all your blessings, for grace upon grace, for your grace to us personally that we've just recalled. Thank you that you know each one of us. You know everything about us and still love us, that you want us. Lord, we're passionate about you. We worship you. And so we receive your blessing. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may the mystery of God enfold us. May the wisdom of God uphold us. May the fragrance of God be around us. May the brightness of God surround us. May the wonder of God renew us. May the loving of God flow through us. May the peace of God deeply move us, and the moving of God bring us peace. Amen.